Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Very difficult to take a nap today, John.
Oh, no. And this is our sixth anniversary show. I'm here with Paula Yule and Rebecca Miller, both deputy commissioners in the town. And the one thing that I'm just sitting here listening, but the one thing that I think is so important for people to realize, and you said it towards the end there, Paula, you guys are advocates for the seniors. It's a job, but
yep.
You don't handle it as a job. You're an advocate for the seniors. You own this.
Yes.
And as many places you'll call up somebody, they'll give you an answer.
Right.
And they're hanging up before you have the next question.
No. And we're even like we follow up.
Right. Okay.
So,
absolutely.
So it's not even just the connecting of the services. It's kind of built into our system that someone will always get a follow up call to check in.
Right.
And, you know, when you talk to Joanne in a little bit, you'll see how the nurses handle that. But, you know, we don't ever want someone to just think they make a call and we just provide one thing. We want them to know once they're a member, once they're part of Project Independence, they're forever with Project
Right.
Independence. You may need us once. You may need us once a week. But that really, when we've looked at surveys of, you know, how we're doing in the past, the outcome was that the fact that people knew we were here and knew that they had like this little bit of a safety net in Project Independence, it made them feel much safer and much more secure staying in their home as they aged.
Right.
So
now also, and correct me if I'm wrong, on occasions you guys actually reach out to seniors.
Absolutely.
Right. It's not a matter of they have to call in. So once they're on the record and you know somebody's home,
yes,
maybe in their 90s, have a situation currently, recently with the spared weather, et cetera,
yes,
you actually reach out and say, how's things going?
Yeah. Well, when somebody calls 311, if it's for another category, they can be asked, you know, and told about Project Independence.
Right.
And then they just create a general miscellaneous service request, which comes to us. And then we take a look and we usually will make a call and just to explain what is Project Independence. And, you know, we also get, everyone gets a call, when they become a new member, they get a packet of information, but they also get a survey. We get those surveys back every week. And Christina and I take a look at them. And the survey is actually built from the original NORC, which it's going to give you a snapshot of somebody's general needs. It's really what would be the beginning of a psychosocial assessment. So we take a look at this survey, and from that, we follow up, and we can create the service requests. We create a lot of the service requests if we know somebody has a need. It doesn't have to come in through call. That's the majority.
Okay.
But if we see something or somebody has a need, like almost every day, we'll create a service request.
I mean, it's amazing how many people still do not know about Project Independence and what it offers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's part of the management role.
Yes, yes.
And frankly, that's part of the role of the people who are members, if you will, of Project Independence, is to keep putting the word out
and
let people know.
When we do ask the question, you know, how did you hear about Project Independence, it comes from their friends.
Right.
It's word of mouth. It's you know, it would be nice to say that it's all from this radio show, but I mean,
no, it's only 98%.
Right. 98%. But it's it's everything. Some people listen to the radio. Some people go to programs. Some people are homebound. Some people have fantastic neighbors, and that neighbor will go over to somebody who might be, you know, having some problems at home and say, you know, have you heard about Project Independence? It's a great program for people who are over 60. And, you know, it's an aging in place initiative. And when that's explained, people, like I was saying before, are a lot more comfortable. But it is important to get the message out about Project Independence. I mean, the fact of the matter is we have seniors in the town that are utilizing services and probably don't even realize that they're a Project Independence member. And that's okay. And that's okay. You know, we'll ask them, are you a member of Project Independence? And they'll say no. And then we'll look up and they'll have 4 taxi rides and have, you know, go to yoga classes and do all these things. So it is working. And just some people may not know it as Project Independence or the Department of Services for the Aging, but they are utilizing town programs. And that's why we're at 12,500
But
users.
It is amazing. I'm going to go along with that because I'm around town enough.
Yes.
These days.
Yes.
And you'll send something. What is Project?
I was
like, you got to be. Now, of course, I'm closer to it. It's like, You don't know what Project Independence is? You know, it's like, what rock are you under?
I know.
We tend not to use that verbiage, but yes, we do get surprised when people don't know.
Yeah, sometimes it's timing, too. Like, you know, you hear about it and you say, yeah, okay, that's wonderful. But you really don't need it.
Right.
But
exactly.
You don't think about the fact that you can help somebody else who might need it.
Right.
You know, but then one day you wake up and you say, man, I'm starting to creak. And, maybe I'm going to need a little help.
Right. But you brought up such an important, you know, part of Project Independence, and that's the caregiver. And we always talk, when we talk about the caregiver, I mean, it's not my expertise, but I'm always surprised when someone will describe what they're going through with their spouse, or maybe they have a child that lives at home, and I'll say, oh, so you're the primary caregiver. And they say, no, I'm not. I'm like, well, you're taking care of them all the time, around the clock, all their needs.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, it's my husband. I'm like, yes, but you're still the caregiver.
Right.
You still have needs. You still need support to help care for your partner or your child.
Right.
So once people understand that, you know, you can be a caregiver without actually pulling down a salary or being a caregiver.
Most caregivers don't get salaries.
Or very, very poor salaries.
Right.
So there are programs.
And again, that conversation Rebecca would have with someone would lead us to say, does this caregiver need some respite? Does this caregiver have a hard time driving to the grocery store? So then again, that one discussion about a caregiver that Rebecca would have with a senior will bring to us a whole other series of questions that they may not even realize we can help them with.
Right.
So that's why, like, to me, I'm not as surprised not everybody knows about us. There are days I'm very surprised that we have 12,000, almost 13,000 members, because in a lot of ways we're grassroots. You know, we really get out there, and when we first were building, and, you know, it took us about 3 years, but we rolled out the whole program, you know, in different regions. Really, ideally now, and hopefully in 2018, we go back into the communities that we first started, and we go back and start talking to the communities as a whole. Because, again, we were in a building process, but now there's new seniors. There's new people that have needs that may not know about us yet. So that's a big goal. That's a big endeavor to take on, you know, to get back into the community.
Years and the number,
but community organization,
right?
And we really could go back in the loop and really go back again. So, you know, maybe we'll have 10 more thousand in the next 5 years. But
well, I mean,
if you
think about it, Paula, right? 10 years ago.
Yeah, we were zero.
We were 10 years ago, a lot of people in the town that were 55 are now 65.
Right.
I'm one
of them.
And 75 or 85.
You're 65 now.
Do you have an average age for the PI member?
I think it's early 80s.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Christina,
so then,
I don't know
so
if we have the exact number. I'm going to guess 82 and 83.
Okay, that's
most people in their 60s and 70s are still working.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying this next generation.
Right.
Of your 12,000, 13,000 members, it's probably of the 20,000 that are really looking at it now. Whereas
that's,
the 60 to 70-year-old person.
That's our average, but our older seniors are growing faster.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
So that's the population where we know we're going to have to get more services in there. And really part of our job also, like I'm going to a two-day conference actually at Adelphi on geriatric mental health the end of October. And there's an aspect for us of keeping abreast of what is out there. You know, keeping understanding what's not just resources, but how is the best way to help people. So it's very important that we stay well-trained as well, and we know what's happening, you know, in our communities. And this older senior and the homebound older senior is always the one I'm most concerned about. And when we started with the concept, you know, Otto, I think, said neighbors helping neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
really need people to give us a heads up.
Right.
Is there somebody on your block, that someone you know of? And then we can, you know, kind of gently try to introduce our services.
I started, I guess it was like 2004 or somewhere around
It was actually 2000, the end of 2005 were like the first beginning meetings.
That's when Madge and
I was just going to say, we
became
need to
live
mention them,
in January of 2006.
Right.
But I was hired October of 2005. But right. we had just received the grant. It wasn't operational yet. We weren't live. But that year of 2005 was the year when the grant was agreed upon. How are we going to do this? The town board agreed.
And that was with Madge Capital.
That was with Madge as our mother. Evelyn Roth is our mother. What? Yes, I was there.
How many people were being?
What? Wait! I was there. Right?
Now,
yes.
Was that the NORC back then?
That was first the NORC. So 2006. DOSA
until 2006.
DOSA became live 2009.
Okay, because I was involved with the
you
NORC.
You were there 2006 because I interviewed you and Bunny.
Oh, okay.
In the room with the survey.
Because I would imagine
you were on NORC. I met you and Bunny.
And still are our star. Ooh. I still remember that video of you driving around town. You know.
Yeah. Being
interviewed, which I think would be illegal today.
What's the driving around town?
he was driving in his car.
We should show you that,
John. With Madge Kaplan.
Talking about Project Independence.
She wanted to visit houses, homes.
Oh.
Right. So I drove her around. We actually wound up in my house at a pit stop because we had nowhere else to go.
Wait, was this for the United Way?
Was that the United Way?
It was in conjunction with some of the funding we were getting for the NORC at the time.
Okay.
We always were concerned. We want to keep the funding coming in, so we want to show people what it is that we do. And we brought Otto in as a real live NORC, participant.
A NORC.
And so he's a real live NORC. He was one of our first NORC. I could probably go back and find, exactly when. I'm sure I could.
Yeah.
Because I remember the interview.
But what else is wonderful about Project Independence and the NORC and being with the program for so long is not only do we have great members, but we have all made such wonderful friendships.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Otto and your...
Right.
I mean, it's just an amazing experience all around. Not just the services and the staff that work so hard, but...
Right.
The real relationships that have been created.
They're
very
amazing.
Very, very,
it's
valuable.
It's been lovely.
And important in life, I think.
That's the truth. Like when I go to some of these events at Clinton G. Martin, et cetera, there's tables of people. They're friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's not like we're sitting here and
And then it all evolves over time, too. Mm-hmm. You don't just walk into a room and right away, we're friends.
No, I agree.
We build relationships. That's definitely a goal. We want people to
ready for another break. So we're taking a break now. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.